to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're joined today on the eve of Christmas with our producer, Bob Belongi. Bob, you get to say two words.
Good morning.
I would have preferred Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Okay. That's not four words.
That's four
words.
Well,
you just kept talking. It's my show. Stop talking.
I can count. Okay. I can count to four.
There, okay, there. And of course, my beautiful soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning, and shall we share with our listeners how fun it was yesterday in front of Rayleigh's ringing the bell.
Salvation Army gave us a bucket and two bells, and we wore those little bells out.
Well, it was Rayleigh's on Lake, and we were supposed to go from 12 to 2, but we actually went from 11:30 to 1:30. Thank you, listeners. Thank you. You know who you are. You came and... We
met many of you.
It shook our hands, and we got to meet you. It was really, really very special. We got to hear your concerns, future topics you would like us to cover. We had a great time.
You know, and again, it was a giving point on our from the listeners, where they stopped by. They, you know, I'm not as tall as I sound like on the radio. I'm not sure how that works. Maybe it was a nicer way of saying that. Gee, I really pictured your face a lot different.
I'm not as petite as she thought I might be.
I've got a great face for radio, as it's been pointed out to me several times.
Well, good morning again. Like we said, KCNR 1460. We are now in our, and let's see, this is our ninth day of being on the air.
You know, we picked a great time to do it. We picked that Christmas season time to come on the air. When every time that you may need a piece of equipment, it's always on the East Coast, and it's Christmas Eve, and starting yesterday at noon, all these companies just kind of went bye-bye. So Well, it's just that if you call them and leave a message, their voice boxes are filled up, or voice message things are filled up, and then if you leave them an email, it says out of the office till, you know, December 28th or something. No, but it's okay. We've found out that if I plug a wire in here and Linda and I hold hands and Bob plugs it into the other spot that the current usually runs through.
Did you mention the Salvation Army people said they were going to call in, but did you mention, because I might have not quite comprehended, about the angels on the tree?
Well, what happened is after they were on our show last week,
they called in.
They called in, and they had a tremendous upsurge of activity and people coming in and donating things. But the one thing they were looking for, of course, was the angels on the tree. Those are children that were not going to get Christmas gifts. And people just signed up for all of them, including, I believe it was Shasta Medical Center. I'm not sure for that. But one of the we'll find out for sure, that took 20 of those angels just on their own volition.
Well, I hope they were.
What a great outpouring. And then again, yesterday we were told that the Salvation Army has enough hams and turkeys for Christmas. Again, ready to come through. Ken Witho at the Rescue Mission is, they're still looking for donations. So,
well, I hope they do call it. Oh my gosh, Santa just arrived.
Santa just.
No, I thought you were in Russia.
Oh, no way. Oh, I'm here.
Oh, I wish. Santa.
I appreciate this season. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Santa. You have something you want to say to everybody, Santa?
Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's a great time. It's a great city, and it's a great bunch of people.
Well, where are the... Where's
on the
first,
roof?
There you go.
They're on the roof.
Speechless.
They're always on the roof.
I thought I heard a little patter of reindeer feet.
Oh, I'm just a little
speechless.
One. Yeah, well, that's good. One of the few times.
Oh. Well, you were a handsome Santa.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We were over here. I'll just come right
over
here.
Oh, come over here. We're taking pictures. This is live. Oh, yes.
Live radio.
Lama and I were over at the theater. Oh, another one.
There's a blizzard of flashbulbs going off because Santa's in the studio. You know, we were going to say about who we've had in here this week, but I think, Santa, you are the top of the list there.
Well, you know,
Mama and I were over at the Cascade Monday night. We had over 100 kids up on the stage as I was reading about myself and the night before Christmas. We just had a good, good time there.
Well, you know, you're never too old to want to sit on Santa's lap.
Oh, but Mama would never let me live it down. I can't afford that.
I think Santa's turning red here because Linda's looking at him.
It's getting a little warm in here.
Well, Santa, thank you so much for stopping by a little bit early.
Thank you for all you do for the city and the people here. A very Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm sure the elves are busy. Just keep trying to keep
track of Santa. Bye, Santa.
See, we don't seem to understand that Santa does travel in warp speed, you know, because he was in Russia.
And in case anybody out there actually thinks that we actually have control over this show, you're wrong. You know, after we say, welcome to Free Fire Radio, we've lost control at that point. And we've got to take a break here. Our phone numbers are 605-4567. We'll be saying that a whole lot because that's what people are telling us. Tell us the phone number every minute. Okay, 605-4567. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time.
A very Merry Christmas here on KCNR 1460. This is Carla Linda Bott. We're having a great time. Good morning. Oh, good morning. It's about 7:15 on the 24th of December.
And
wow.
Our Cracker Jack producer hasn't put up what the temperature is, but I think it's around 42.
You tease him all the time.
I'm just picking on him again.
Hey, by the way, tipsy drivers, if you think you've had too much to drink during the holiday season, Twin View Towing in Reading is going to be offering free towing with a 5-mile radius in Reading. So you might think about it. Today I was.
I think they're going to be on the show today.
They are? I love it. Who else do we have on?
Well, today we're going to have our police chief of Reading, Chief Peter Hansen. We're going to have, I believe, a Marine sergeant named Burroughs, who's just got back from Afghanistan. He's home on leave. His father is Rob Burroughs, who heads up the Northern California Heritage Museum.
He
is just an awesome gentleman.
And his wife, his family.
The veteran of the year here for the North State. And they've had a couple of things happen lately that have been kind of tough, you know, with some, pipes bursting. But they're still pushing ahead because that's just the kind of people they are. And something else happened yesterday. You know, these are things that never hit the radar. A young, a warrant officer from Afghanistan had asked that he that had sent an email that he and his stepfather had this tradition they had for Christmas Eve and was to have a cup of hot chocolate together. And he sent this to a Patriot Guard writer wanting to know if they could help somehow. Well, yesterday, about 20 of the Patriot Guard writers made it to the gentleman's house and they shared a cup of hot chocolate with the warrant officer, the Army warrant officer's stepfather. And we got an email back today. He says, as a combat, thank you so much. And this was to Cheryl Cobb and Dave Cobb, who are instrumental in the Patriot Guard Riders. As a combat veteran three times over, it's hard for me to be away from my family. The best way I and probably many others deal with it is to focus on the mission at hand and come home. I hope someday to thank you and all the people involved in person. I have to admit that when I looked at the pictures, it made me very emotional. You are wonderful Americans. Just do us a favor and keep old glory flying high till we come home. Have a wonderful Christmas. I'm probably going to watch Polar Express in my cubicle. Feel free to write to me or any one of the writers anytime. I am on this thing every day due to business. He's talking about his computer. Now, this is something that's just done out of the love of people's heart to support our men and women out there. And I know it meant a lot to the family to have the Patriot Guard riders show up there with that cup of chocolate. And obviously meant a lot to this warrant officer who's with Task Force Thor someplace there in Afghanistan.
That is one of the reasons that we love being here in the North State. You know who you are. And if you get a chance, why don't you call us here this morning, 605-4567. If you were on that mission yesterday, the hot chocolate mission, we want to hear from you what it was like. I mean, we've received, like we said, emails, and we've seen pictures on Facebook, but let's hear it from you. Dave Cobb, we saw the calendar yesterday for the Patriot Guard riders that came out. Wonderful pictures from different missions that they've attended and helped their flag lines out at the Igo Cemetery.
Igo and other times when they've escorted our warriors that have fallen or being laid to rest.
It's so patriotic.
And they've made a calendar for the Patriot Guard riders. There's $15 for this calendar, which is almost what it cost. And if you're interested in that, get a hold of us here. Just send us an email, Carl, at KQMS, KCNR 1460. Okay, I said it. Sorry. You know, I used to be there. KCNR1460.com. Carl at KCNR1460.com. Send us an email if you're interested about the calendar. Or call us at 605-4565.
We're going to have to take a break, but when we get back, Norm, hold on. We're going to be right there with you. This is Carla Linda Bott. Good morning, Reading. KCNR1460.com. We'll see you right after these breaks.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR1460. Let's go to the phones. Norm, good morning.
Good morning, Carl Linda.
Good morning.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I want to expand a little bit on the Patriot Guard yesterday on their little trip over to the family.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough to be involved in it. I was invited to go along, me and a friend. And I'll tell you, it was the most emotional thing I've had in a long time.
Really?
These men and women in this Patriot Guard, they can't be thanked enough. And any time anybody gets a chance in this town to get behind these guys and these women, I think they should, because they do a fantastic job. And that was the most emotional afternoon I've had in a long time.
The way I understand it was the family knew about it, but the stepfather did not know about it.
Yeah, well, he couldn't even talk. He was so emotional. And just thinking about it, I do too.
Well, you know, you're right, because this is something from his stepson. They were close, obviously very close, and a tradition that they've had for years, and from what I understand, the stepfather is not in the best of health, too.
No, he's not at all.
Well, you know, the fact that his son was thinking of him is wonderful, but the fact that the Patriot Guard riders, again, stepped up.
Absolutely.
To do the right thing.
And they're a wonderful group of people. I can't say enough about them.
Well, we're going to
be involved with them. You know, I'm not a Patriot rider, but I do like get involved with them as much as I can.
Well,
and I love them all.
Well, I think that a lot of us veterans that are out there, a lot of people that want to support the veteran community do that. You know, they're not necessarily ride with any group, but you ride with everybody to support the veterans.
Yeah.
Norm, thank you.
I just want to let you know about yesterday because it was a great afternoon.
Great. Well, Norm, thank you so much for your phone call.
You bet. Have a good day.
You bet.
All right, Norm.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Norm. Thank you so much. We got a call last night from Boo, who was telling us how wonderful it was that he came. He was on the ride, and he just said, you know, he couldn't. He was also had an emotional outpouring of feelings from this community gathering for a call from somebody who was serving right now, and that's the beauty of coming together to support, to let people know that we are thinking of our fine men and women that are serving this great country of ours.
And after the break, we're going to let you meet one. You're a young Marine back from Afghanistan. I'm sorry, say that.
Iraq.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's back from Iraq. Iraq, Afghanistan. But if wherever they're at, they usually can go from one spot to the other. So, yeah, back from Iraq. But we're going to meet him after the break. We've got a couple minutes. We want to thank a few people. Before we go out on the break, little things people do, like Marty and Pat, people that we have ridden with before, gave us bells. A bell is supposed to be hanging on your bike, and the bell rings and it lets the angels know you're coming and it protects you. Well, we've got them on our microphones now.
Well, when we first kicked off on Monday,
we need angels here.
Well, we had gremlins. Yeah. Gremlins in the studio.
The gremlins away.
And Marty went in. We were at Tobacco and Brew doing our internet show live on Friday. And he came out and he had these two little bells that he bought. He said, "This is for the gremlins to go away." And I thought that was adorable. And life is in such a hurry that, we just have to say to you both now, thank you so much and how much we appreciate you. Also wanted to say thank you and Merry Christmas to the Verhoogs. They sent us the most wonderful Christmas present. It's a Wonderful Life. The double CD, DVD. Guess
the
what
Jimmy
we're,
Stewart.
Guess
and,
what we're
yeah.
watching tonight. And the bell is for every time an angel is thinking of you.
I guess the bell rings. Well, anytime we need help and hear the bell ring, so you'll probably be here ringing continuously on my microphone. We'd like to thank Accent Digital for a lot of the work they've done around here. And helping us get ready for this. And
we got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to take a call from Cheryl. Cheryl, keep holding, please. And then another angel in our studio, someone who, just hang in there. And this is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Let's go to the phones. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I have to tell you, I have to correct you, Carl. It was a son-in-law. So that kind of makes it even more special.
Oh, the son-in-law. Okay.
Yeah, how close they were. And I also wanted to, Julie Clausen was the one that initially had contact with him. And she did such an awesome job. She got gifts for his children who were there and his wife. And
oh, my gosh.
It was emotional. It was so cool.
Well, a big shout-out then to Julie Clausen. We know Julie well.
Yes.
But also for you, Cheryl, and everybody else that participated in this. This was just an act of love. This wasn't something you had to do. This was just an act of love.
It was, you could just see how much it meant to the family. You know, it was just awesome. And the father-in-law had the biggest smile on his face. It was, I think everybody was tearing up.
Well, it's the Patriot Guard riders, and I know Julie and yourself and Dave, you don't do things for applause. I know that. But when something like this occurs, the people of our community need to know about it, that this is just, the kindness and the way that Reading and the North State is. And if they can help people, they do it. And this is just another example of just how much the people give in our community.
It is. It puts the spirit of Christmas in us and the spirit of, patriotism. And if they only knew that we enjoy it as much as the time, as much as they do.
Yeah. And the fact is that so many people have put it out there on the line just so that we can have these freedoms.
Yes, they have.
And sometimes we forget, when you see people, making decisions, take the stars off the Christmas trees, because, you see that. But, sometimes we forget is that this country is a free country, and we may not always make the right decisions, but we do it in that sense of freedom that these veterans and these men and women that are out there on the walls every day
exactly.
are putting their lives on the line to preserve. And,
yes.
And if we don't use those freedoms, if we don't vote, if we don't get involved with this, then what they're doing is you know, worthless.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And that's not a political thing. It's just that we need to support those people out there that are out there and all the hundreds of thousands that have gone before them by taking an interest in our own country.
That's right. That's right. No matter what side you're on, you know.
No matter what side
you're
on. You've
got to support them.
That's right. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Merry Christmas to you and Linda.
Merry Christmas to you. I'll ring the bell for you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, in our studio today, we have a special guest, a young man that I've known for a couple of years, and he his father and I served in Iraq together. Rob Burrows, who's a Navy chief, also integral part of our community up here, but. We're not here to talk to Rob today. We'll talk to Rob some other time. We'll say hello to Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Your son, Will. You kind of proud of this guy?
Absolutely. Very proud of our son.
So, Will, tell us who you are and what your rank is and where you're stationed at right now.
Well, my name is Lance Corporal Burrows, and I'm stationed out of 29 Palms, California. It's down in the Palm Springs area. And it is the largest training base for the Marine Corps in the United States. It's a grunt base. There's really no air operations out of there. Pretty much every unit Marine Corps that needs to deploy to Iraq goes there first because it's where like the most of the desert operations are founded out of. I mean, there's really nothing out there. That's why it's so good for training.
It's like an ashtray.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm just out there. My first trip out to 29 Palms was, I think, 1973. We didn't have all those Hollywood-type, buildings like you have out there now, out there in the desert. We had a cement pad with pipes coming out of them. That you could go out there and just take showers. That was it.
Well, that's why the Seabees went into Camp Wilson and built all the rest of those buildings for you.
Well, Camp Wilson, you'd have any time out there, it'd be, a company of Marines taking showers out in the middle of the desert. And they figured they better start putting up, at least something around there because visitors would come through and get a firsthand view of Marines. So, anyway, you've been deployed for the last, 6 months?
It was a 7-month deployment, started in February, ended about August, September timeframe. We were stationed out of Camp Bajaria and then moved to TQ later on.
Mm-hmm. And what was your mission there?
Basically, our mission was to go ahead and get back and start turning over different areas of Iraq back to the IPs, which is the Iraqi police, and the IRAs, the Iraqi army, so that they could go ahead and take possession of these different counties, which is basically how it would work here, these different areas of Iraq, being Fallujah and Karma, so that they can have control and we can go ahead and move out and go on our way.
Okay, now we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk about that. Our phone number here is 605-4567. Our guest is Lance Corporal Will Burrows. If you've got a question for Will, I just want to say Merry Christmas to this young man. Please give us a call, 605-4567. Join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's Christmas season. Yeah, Bob, I can pause. Every time I pause, Bob thinks I've broken the microphone again. Hey, Bob, listen to us. Okay, the angels are here. The bell's ringing. Our guest today is Lance Corporal Will Burrows, a Marine who just got back from Iraq, and he's talking about it. Now, you were saying that you were there to hand over the territory there, the county. I guess it would be the closest thing to be just call it a county, to the Iraqi army and the Iraqi police.
Yes, I did, Carl.
Now, okay, now, how were they? Were they prepared to take over?
Prepared, maybe. Ill-equipped, definitely. You know, they definitely didn't have very much as far as equipment goes. But, of course, you know, I mean, Iraq really hasn't always been equipped at all. You know, and the biggest thing was, you know, you turn this over, but a lot of the time we find out some of these IAs and IPs, some of them were crooked. You know, so you're trying to turn this piece of ground back to people that, you know, some of them are crooked, and then it just turns around from there. Not only that, but you've got all these areas next to each other, and, you know, like you've got a Shahada IP station over here, and then you've got the Subayat IP station over here, and, you know, they might be rivals in territory. So, I mean, really, I mean...
From the different clans.
From different tribes and clans.
Tribes, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it is what it is. You know, there's not very much you can do. You know, you can teach them as much as you can. You know, you can show them this is what you need to do for here. This is a good way to do this. And then, but when it comes down to it, you know,
they're going to do it the way they want.
They're going to do it the way they want. Right. You know, I mean,
well, one of the things that we realized was that the Al Qaeda, that, you know, this was a couple of years ago now that your dad and I were there, but one of the things that we realized was Al Qaeda was definitely afraid of the police, not so much the army, because the police were in the neighborhoods and knew who was supposed to be there and it could help in the process of hunting them down. What's the level of violence when you were there?
It's pretty high. I probably lower than it has been the last maybe 3 to 4 years. But it's still pretty high in the sense as far as their own, the country's its own turmoil against its own people, you know, people right. against people. It's still very high. I mean, we are still identifying bodies of different tribes that were killing each other, trying to find out who they were. I mean, we've got guys attacking the IP stations. So, you know, that there's good police in these IP stations because you've got different insurgents attacking them, different insurgent cells. So, you know, I mean, you know
that there's the reason they're going after them is because they are having an effect, and at least Al Qaeda is, or whoever the other insurgents are, and they're still jockeying for position. It sounds like
yes,
and because the elections are still going on. However, they are still having elections, and I believe the violence has dropped, even though you're seeing violent incidents. The violence has dropped so tremendously since 2007.
It has dropped a great deal, but one of the biggest things that when I was talking with some of the soldiers there from the Republican Guard that had switched over to the new Iraqi army, if you look at the money, the currency from before when Saddam was there and the currency there now, it's the same currency except they've taken Saddam's face off. And so you've got the dinar without a face on it. It's a blank circle. And one of the army sergeants has said, Saddam was a bad leader, but he was a leader. Now we have no leader, and we have all these different factions struggling to find that leadership position, and that's what they're dealing with right now. As every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there is trying to take that leadership role in those different provinces, and that's what they're dealing with their own people, especially as we step back out of there.
And we are stepping out of there. I believe that I think by summer of 2011. We're going to have most of the combat troops out of there, but I think we're leaving like 50,000 troops in there to help maintain order. And it's going to take a while. It just is. The fact is they're going to have to find their own level, and it will be a democracy, but I don't think it'll be a democracy that we have in the United States. But then again, if people still get to vote, if people still have a say in their future by using the ballot instead of hunting down whoever's in the ruling party and killing them, at least that's a start. So what was your typical day like over there?
Over there, you know, I mean, basically you go ahead and if you don't have a mission, you'll go ahead and you'll get up and you'll go to chow in the morning, and then you'll stand by and get briefs. Usually depending on who goes outside the wire that day, you know, we might switch our what we need to do for the day. You know, I mean, you're constantly on standby. You can't be too far away. You've got to maintain contact with what's going on. Make sure you know what's going on around there, because you could be going out the wire in 20 minutes. You don't know. So, but
And when you go on a mission, is it down the road? Or are you getting out of the vehicles? Or are you walking the streets?
All of it. I mean, you know, you go ahead and we'll get where we need to be. You know, we'll get out. You know, we'll go ahead and we'll post up security. We'll go ahead and check around the vehicles, make sure everything's okay. Most of the time, what we were doing was we were taking personnel to one place that needed to talk to. You know, we'll go ahead and we'll take to the IP stations. Basically, what we'd do is we'd visit them, and we'd go ahead and see how everything was running and make sure everything was good. Key leadership would speak with the key leadership inside these IP and IA stations and make sure that they have everything they need. Sometimes we'd go ahead and we'd come up with large boxes of food and blankets and stuff like that for these IP stations and IA stations. And just so that they've got what they need, because you go inside these places and they're not maintained. I mean, basically, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm sure you can find plenty of pictures on the internet nowadays. I mean, there's really, it's just a mud hut with, you know, a blanket on the ground. This is the way they live, you know. I mean, it's just, so, you know, try to, you know, give them something a little bit more than they've got so that they can obtain their goals.
That's the idea, is to provide enough security and enough support that they can obtain their goals. And there is an end to the mission, though. We can see that, you know, at some point. We're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Lance Corporal Will Burrows, and this is KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Lance Corporal Will Burrows, but we've also got another guest, his wife, Courtney. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how long have you two been married?
Almost a year now.
Almost a year, and he's been gone for how much of that?
7 months.
So you remember his middle name?
Yes.
What is it?
Randolph.
Okay. So what do you do while he's deployed in Iraq?
Basically just work and wait for letters, and that's about it.
Do you all get to talk very much?
Yeah, we got to talk quite a bit this time, actually.
That's good. Now, you're not here in Redding. You're in?
Great Falls, Montana.
Okay, staying with mom and dad?
Yes.
That's good. And so, but how often were y'all able to talk or hear from each other?
It was about every week, I guess.
At least maybe once, twice a week at most. Sometimes I get maybe three phone calls in a week.
That's great. Now, do you use just regular calling cards and off the phone banks out there?
No, we had this thing called SPAWAR over there. It's basically it's like a European, Middle Eastern kind of a thing where you go on the internet and you go ahead and you buy time on the internet and you have a PIN and they have a SPAWAR phone center and you go in there and all the phones are from this from SPAWAR. You can't use a phone card or anything on them, and you punch in your PIN number, which would be like maybe about 6 to 8 digits long, and it's actually pretty inexpensive for long distance calling.
That's great.
About $30. I think $30 was about 19 hours of phone time. I mean, it was pretty nice.
Well, you know, being able to be in touch with your loved ones is important. I mean, just even back in 1990 and 91 during Desert Shield, Desert Storm, the only way you got a hold of anybody was by snail mail. And you'd have like 15 letters catch up with you or not have anything for 2 weeks, depending on how far up front you were. And would they throw the mail onto which kind of truck would get up there. So are you proud of him?
Very.
So when you, okay, you're coming back when now? You're back now?
Yes.
And for how long?
I can't tell you. We're scheduled to go on the 31st MEU, though.
31st is, I thought 31st was operating out of Okinawa, but it's not.
It is. We have to go ahead. We're going to, we're going to ship to Okinawa, and then we'll all go ahead and everybody will assemble there, and we'll go ahead and we'll take off.
Okay. So they got you back, and they're going to send you out again?
Usually it's, I don't think it'll be for another 7 to 8 months.
You have to refit and everything. Okay. Well, are you two going to be able to be together during that time frame?
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you, Courtney, because, you know, the spouses and the families of the servicemen, you know, that makes their lives so much easier, your support.
Thank you.
And you're a lot of strength there for you. And Lance Corporal, you are the backbone of the Marine Corps. just like in any army, you know, you all are the ones that kick in doors. You're the ones that are riding on those streets. And, you know, it's without you and without your bravery and your courage and your, you know, your honesty to do this, we couldn't, you know, our country would be far, far worse off. So thank you very much, and, you know, Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Rob, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. We appreciate it.
Okay, we've got another another guest out here in the outside the studio. We're going to be able to talk to you in a couple minutes. And this is a person, and this is in fact, it's a business that is doing a lot for our community here. We've getting a lot of people here at the last minute, right before the big day, before December 25th. Because they're doing things. Anyway.
Just want to say Merry Christmas to all of you. Thanks so much for coming on. And
thank you.
And safe journeys.
Well, thank you.
And congratulations. We were married in January, too.
Oh, really?
This is our second anniversary coming up. So.
Merry Christmas to the
Merry Christmas.
Family.
Happy anniversary. And hey, we've got Chief Hansen in the lobby and also Diane Robertson. You might have seen or heard about Twin View Towing. But we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. Oh, do we have time before the break?
Yeah, we have time.
Bob. 3 minutes. Okay, let's bring in Diane. Just one moment.
You know, what they do with Twin View Towing, and Diane is right here. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're playing the shuffle here. This is great. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
You owned, I heard you say that you and your husband have Twin View Towing, and you've owned this business for, what, 19 years?
Almost 20 years, yep.
Almost 20 years. And we are going to nominate you as one of our angels in the wings because you guys have thought of doing something that's so of great service for people who have been drinking before they get in their car. Tell us what Twin View Towing is going to be doing this holiday season.
Okay, starting this evening at 6 p.m., we will, based on just you calling us at 243-1010, we'll send out a tow truck, and we will pick you and your vehicle up and take you home within a five-mile radius of Reading. So all you need to do is call 243-1010. We'll come pick you up if you had too much to drink or even if you think you've had too much to drink, and we'll take you safely home.
So you're saying if my friends or people we know have had one too many martinis, they call, what's the number again?
243-1010.
243-1010, and you'll come pick them up and tow their car, bring them back to their residence safely, no questions asked, and that's your Twin View Towing Christmas present.
Exactly. It's free of charge. You have no excuse. Like I said, even if you think you've had too much, it's just not worth the risk anymore to take the cost, the financial cost, everything that it affects, your driver's license, everything. Just give us a call. We'll pick you up and take you home.
You know, I can't say enough about you all.
Well,
you know,
thank you very much.
I mean, this is just this
have
is
you ever
a
heard?
Wonderful thing you've done.
Have you ever heard?
Well, you know, I've heard of, you know, some, you know, few and far between, you know, that, you know, hey, we'll send by somebody there and they charge you for it. But this to come down and then take your car, too, so you don't have to leave your car parked out someplace in a weird
exactly.
area. That's a huge thing, too. So. Because I've known people that have woken up the next morning, not even sure where their car was, and so you're
that's an angel right there.
That's the yeah.
Angel.
The angels are angel. The bells are ringing again.
Well, Diane Robertson, please give us the number again for Twin View Towing, and we'll make sure that we have everybody put that on your refrigerator door. We all know that we have friends, and sometimes we as well don't need to be drinking and driving. It's not good. So, what's the number again?
It's 243-1010.
Thank you again, and
thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Well, thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's like 42 degrees. Oh, it's 37 degrees. High today is going to be 61. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the North State, maybe even all of California. They have such a great selection of cigars there. But they also have many other products, including Espresso Joe's, where you can get that special coffee, handmade, specially made by the girls there that is so reasonably priced that you're going to want to buy two of them. Plus, they have those last-minute presents for under the tree. Go down and see Joe and Shelley. If there's something going on in this town that has to do with veterans and helping people, they are there. Joe and Shelley from Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Well, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and our phone number here is 605-4567. 605-4567.
If you can think of 456, bet on what the last number is going to be.
A rollout on the, what is it, a comment on 7-Eleven. Our guest today, a very special guest in the studio. Boy, it's been a great roll of wonderful people in here. Good morning, Chief Hansen.
Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Carl.
Now, how about you fill our listeners in on the Blue Santa?
Yeah, yesterday we went out on our Blue Santa operation, which we do once a year, and this is actually the 19th year in which we participated with Blue Santa, and the goal is for our department and the employees, volunteers of our department to give back to the community and try and brighten the lives of a few children in our community who would otherwise go without. So yesterday, starting at about 8 o'clock, the crew headed out. And we made about 30 stops or so and provided presents and gifts and Christmas candy to about 80 children in our community. And the first stop was at Mercy Medical Center at the pediatrics wing, where a lot of the young people are hospitalized and aren't going to be home for Christmas. And then we went to neighborhoods in town where we knew there were children that weren't going to have a good Christmas this year. And we're trying to brighten the lives of those few kids.
Now, how many kids ask why Santa was dressed in blue?
Well, not too many. They understand, you know, this is a police department program, and our Blue Santa wears the blue uniform because he's representing the blue of the Reading Police Department. And our Blue Santa is a great guy, retired Sergeant Dan, and very involved in the community. And he has done this for many years, and it's just been a great program for us. You know, and it's becoming increasingly, we're getting a lot more community support. We've had the Sunrise Rotary, for example. They did a big bicycle giveaway last weekend to young people. And they donated a lot of the extra bicycles to us. So we were able to provide a lot of bicycles to these young people. But really, it starts with the men and women of the Reading Police Department donating their time and their money to purchase the gifts. You know, we had a donor who's a retired officer from San Francisco who lives in Shingletown that donated $1,000 to the program.
Another angel.
Another angel. Happens to be my neighbor. And yesterday the volunteers, you know, they spent all week of wrapping presents. We had the Interact Club from Foothill High School come and help wrap presents and deliver gifts. But it was chaplains, volunteers, cadets, officers. Most of them were off duty on their own time. And we just went around delivering gifts and trying to brighten the lives of these few young people in our town.
Wow.
Well, let's take a caller. Our guest today is Chief Hansen. Good morning, Sylvia. You're on KCNR 1460.
Good morning, Carl, Linda. How are you today?
We're great, Sylvia.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I just wanted to let all your listeners know that we had a wonderful turnout. After your announcement, we had 75 angels, and all were taken within 24 hours.
Oh, now, Sylvia's from the you're from the Salvation Army.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Sylvia from Salvation Army. And so after you were on the show, every one of your angels was taken then?
Every one of them was taken within 24 hours. We had such a so many people came and helped. And all the children had gifts within 24 hours. I would just like to thank Shasta County and the City of Reading for all their help, and Shasta Regional Hospital did fantastic. And thank you, Carl and Linda, for putting it on the air and letting everyone know what we needed so it was fulfilled.
Well, thank you so much. It's our honor. I mean, that's what we're about, is this great community of ours. And we're the conduit and the voice. If you need things, do call us. Like I said, it's a great honor. Merry Christmas. Now, I understand you need bell ringers for Christmas Eve.
Yes, we do. I'm so excited. We are only 4,000 short of our goal this year. So if everybody comes out and just an hour ring that bell, I really think we can make our goal.
Now, we rang it for a couple hours yesterday and just had it was a great time. It was nice and warm. We were dressed way too warm for what it was. But we had so many people stop by that wanted to say hello to us, you know, just from the show, but so many other people that stopped by and were, you know, saving all their coins. I mean, it took them a while to, you know, put them into the little bucket there, and people writing checks. So in that 2 hours, we had the opportunity to see and meet a lot of friendly, giving people here in Reading.
What's the number, Sylvia, to call for bell ringers?
It's 222-2207, extension 18, and ask for Sylvia. And the bell ringers have done a fantastic job this year. I think I only had two people call in sick, and they have been just through bad weather, good weather, they've been there. And I'd like to thank them from the bottom of our hearts, from Salvation Army.
So if they need to, you need bell ringers, so if they just get a hold of the Salvation Army, somebody will push them into you, right?
Yes, they will.
Right, give us a number one more time.
222-2207, extension 18, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
We got to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. We're taking your calls, 605-4567. Chief Hansen is in the house. We'll see you after these breaks.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. The temperature is 39.
It's 50 degrees. It's 50 degrees.
Bob wrote 39.
Well, it's 50 on the computer. Well, it's 50 on Reading.com.
That means the highest it's going to be today.
Okay. So be ready for 50. I don't even
605-4567 if you want to get involved in this trouble. Hey, our guest today is Chief Peter Hansen, and we're talking police activities. This past year has been an up and down year as far as the taxes, you know, salaries, infighting between the city council and the police unions and everything. But there was obviously some high points in this past year, Chief.
You know, there really were. This was a very difficult budget year for the city. All the departments across the entire city were affected negatively. And many, many cuts. The department that I represent, the police department, lost 25 positions. You know, we had to lay off 15 civilian employees, and we lost 10 police officer positions. A combination of loss of city revenues as well as grant revenues and so on. But through all that, there were several opportunities that demonstrated how the city and the police unions can work together. They reached an agreement on employee concessions that the police unions, both the Managers Association and the Officers Association, agreed to some concessions to help with the budget situation. And the City Council reciprocated by redirecting some funds to prevent further layoffs. So it could have been significantly worse. But what I'm really happy about is that our officers and our employees continue to do a pretty good job in these tough times while we've lost a lot of employees, and our service has slowed a little bit. We're still keeping our response times to 911 calls at an acceptable level. And I think it did demonstrate over the year how that when the city council and the police unions or the unions in general in the city work together, you know, we can get through these very difficult times.
The 911 calls. I remember this past year there was, you know, a number of commercials flying through during the negotiations about not having, somebody calling in that somebody's breaking in their house, and they said they were going to be able to get there as soon as they could. I think that was one of the police union ones. But what came out of that by talking to them is the average citizen can call 911, but it may be some time before you get there.
Right. One of the issues we have with response times in this city is that it's a very large city geographically. We're over 60 square miles, and we're sparsely populated, and our officers are sparsely distributed across the city. So our response times are affected a great deal just by geography. But we're trying to keep our response times to those emergency and priority 1, 2, and 3 calls in an acceptable level. And this town has always been, ten to 12 minutes. A few years ago, we were in the 16-minute range, which the council decided was unacceptable, so we actually added more officers to patrol, and we've increased our staffing. So throughout this year, even though we've had cutbacks, we've kept our patrol staff at 100%, so that the cuts we've made have been in other areas, and with the priority being responding to emergency calls.
What is the crime rate right now in Shasta County and Reading proper, and what what is there an increase of as far as the crime rate?
I just looked at our statistics yesterday, as a matter of fact, for the first 11 months of this year. And right now, our crime rate for the city of Reading is holding fairly steady. There's real no increase. And there's just a slight decrease overall. And what is unusual about this year is that normally when the economic times are tough and unemployment rate is high, property crimes tend to go up, you know, thefts and burglaries and things. And that's the category of crime that's actually down overall. That's kind of unusual. Where we've seen an increase is in assaults, aggravated assaults, assaults that, you know, create serious injuries. And that's concerning, but that's a small percentage of our crime. So overall, we're about flat, no increase or no real decrease. Property crimes are a little down. Violent crimes are a little bit up. So while we're not seeing more crimes in terms of the actual number, we're seeing an increase in the violence of those level of crimes that are occurring.
Any increase in the, is there any gang insurgents or activity in our area?
You know, we have a gang problem here, and we work collaboratively with the law enforcement agencies in the region to do stage operations, Shasta anti-gang enforcement. And we have two full-time gang investigators assigned from our department. They work closely with our school resource officers to track youth gang members. Historically, the gangs in Reading have been reasonably unsophisticated, pretty easy to dismantle or break up. We've got a very aggressive district attorney's office and probation department that helps us on that. We do have an influence of outside gang members. A lot of young people who come here from other areas via group homes bring that gang influence with them, and that's very concerning. But, you know, we work with the schools to find out where these kids are and really try and keep a handle on them.
I'm going to talk some more about that when we get back, but we have to take a break. This is Carl on the Bottom, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Hi. Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. Oh, it is December 24th. I think Santa's going to be arriving. Are you going to have cookies? Or are you going to have maybe, I don't know. I think we already had martinis for Santa before. But anyway, it is KCNR1460.com. It is 50 degrees. Any comments, honey?
You're right, honey.
And our special guest today is Chief Hansen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We were talking about gangs, and most people think of gangs as being the kids that run around in graffiti places and that, and you don't see a lot of graffiti around town.
Well, we have a very active graffiti eradication program, and Bob Brennan from the police department, with the support of the Youth Violence Prevention Council and the other communities, provide the resources. Probation department, sheriff's office, juvenile hall provide a lot of the manpower to go out, and as soon as we get notification of graffiti, we'll go out and try and paint over it as quickly as we can, because, you know, most of us know that, you know, that is a turf marker and it can lead to violence, so we try and eradicate it as quickly as possible.
Now, what about I've seen every so often I'll see motorcycle riders wearing colors of gangs. Of well-known gangs. Is there many of those in town?
You know, the vast majority of people who ride motorcycles are honest, law-abiding citizens, and there are a small percentage of people that associate themselves with groups or clubs. And then there's an even smaller percentage of folks that participate in the true outlaw motorcycle gang. And those individuals choose to follow that lifestyle, and they really are a form of organized crime, and that they conduct criminal enterprises, and that's just the membership of that gang. And so some of those outlaw motorcycle gangs have actually been deemed as criminal enterprises by the courts.
Oh, do we have much of a problem of that up here in the Reading and Shasta County?
We do have outlaw motorcycle gangs here. Their conflicts tend to be between each other and not generally with the general public, although that has happened at a few of our local restaurants and drinking establishments. And we know that they're involved in some outlaw or criminal activity on the side. But in terms of real conflicts with law enforcement, it has not been a real significant problem. And but this area of Shasta County is fairly unique because, you know, we're kind of halfway between Oregon and Sacramento, and there is some dispute over the territory, as you would say, between the different gangs and who has ownership of Shasta County amongst the outlaw motorcycle gangs.
But you don't see this as something that you have as a big problem. At least not right now.
Well, it's a problem, but we do dedicate resources to make sure we monitor that to keep it under control. So we want to monitor that, gather intelligence, know who's in the gang, and because you know these conflicts can lead to violence, and we're responsible for that.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Chris. You're on KCNR. Good morning, Chris. Did we lose Chris? Okay, well, let's go back to...
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back from the break, then we'll see who's back on the phone here. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here, KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest today is Chief Peter Hansen. We've been talking about the state of the police here in Reading. And we've talked about some of the things, you know, what happened last year. We've talked about some of the, you know, talked about gang problems. And there's not, you know, thankfully the police are all over the top of this one. But hey, what do we have to look forward to this year, Chief?
Well, a couple of different things we're hoping to put on our calendar. You know, we have some special events coming up that the community participates in. But one special event we're going to try and put on in May is called Cops and Robbers. And it's Cops and Rodgers. It's a police department and a local car club. We're going to try and get together and have a family fun event at the Lake Reading Park to help raise money for our Explorer program. But we're also going to try and host a Citizens Academy. And what we're shooting for is to get, you know, a group of 10 or so citizens over a period of several weeks to come to the police station, you know, once a night for, you know, 10 weeks or once a week. And then we put them through like a little training and orientation program to get more citizens knowledgeable about what happens at the police station. Not necessarily train these people to do anything, but just become knowledgeable about police issues. And, you know, and then later on they can be supportive because they're more educated about things. So that's hopefully on calendar for the spring.
Do they get a little badge afterwards?
No.
They should have a little badge.
They get a nice certificate probably, but
you get to carry a shotgun in the front seat of the car.
That sounds great. That's really getting the community involved with an inside scoop.
Well, because a lot of times people are not aware of the challenges that law enforcement faces. So we thought an educational program might be a good thing. And then, of course, those 10 people tell 10 people and so on. And if those individuals choose to become active in some role in the community or volunteer or just, you know, or can speak on our behalf in the future, that would be, you know, very helpful. We're also pursuing some grants from the state to improve our traffic safety situation. A couple of years ago we had officers assigned to work DUI enforcement, and we lost that grant, so we're trying to get that back, which would help increase safety for our citizens.
Is it my imagination, or did they publish the names in the paper of the people who were, you know, you had a random DUI on, was it Wednesday? And I thought it's on the paper today. Those people that were pulled over, their names were in the paper.
Yeah, when someone is arrested, that is public record. So they're one of the strategies for DUI enforcement is to publish the names of the people that are arrested and charged with DUI, particularly on a special event.
What if they're not guilty? Is there a retraction in the paper?
No, because the matter that's public record is the arrest and the case being referred to the district attorney and the courts.
So we flail them in public, and then we find out they're innocent, and then we just kind of not say anything?
Well, that's also a matter of public record.
Yeah, but will they put that on the front page?
Well, it seemed like it was a special article. I thought, ooh, that's painful. Yeah. But
because we have the Avoid the Six program, that's six different law enforcement agencies involved in trying to crack down on DUI.
Oh, no, and I tell you what, take them all off the road, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I just have something when I see, when people especially a newspaper or a big media source makes a mistake on something. And then when they try to fix it, they don't fix it the same way they announced it. You know, like it's on the 15th page in the last section. It says, oops, we may have made a little mistake.
I mean, what are the chances of misdiagnosing your blood level or somebody being a drunk driver? I mean, there are certain protocols of what you write.
Right. The officer has to have observations of the driving. He has to have individual observations of the driver to see whether or not the driver is actually impaired. Then ultimately there is a required chemical test to determine, you know, breath test or blood test to determine the level. And then, of course, everyone has a right to a trial and a hearing. The more difficult cases are someone driving under the influence of drugs, whether legal or prescription medication. Those are much more difficult to determine. But the same things occur. Is the driving affected? Is the person impaired? You know, and is there a legitimate or not legitimate reason for having those drugs in your system?
How about, you know, we've been, this medicinal marijuana has been, of course, all over the papers and everything. And you've been, we'll probably ask you a question about this, too. I mean, we've got time here, Chief. But everybody says, oh, you know, smoking marijuana is so much more safer than drinking booze. Do you keep statistics on how many people you pull over for impaired driving because of smoking weed?
You know, we do, but I don't have them at my fingertips right now. I sense that the more available marijuana becomes, that's going to be an increasing problem. And the impairment is a significant issue with people because it's a form of a painkiller, and it relieves pain, and as does some other prescription and non-prescription drugs and alcohol, it relieves some people's pain. So driving while under the influence of marijuana can, and I think will be in the future, a significant problem. And it can have the same types of negative results that driving under the influence of alcohol would do.
Well, you know, I think that there's probably some, you know, you're trained to look for certain things, like probably for, you know, DUIs, you know, there might be beer cans and stuff in the car. And if they're driving under the influence of marijuana, you may have like, you know, like 40 or 50, you know, Twinkie wrappers in the front seat, something like that. I mean, that should be something they should
be
looking for.
Food junkie.
Oh, or they could be that. Okay.
Rather than watching the bars, we'll watch the stop, you know, the stores.
The 7-Eleven.
So what are your some of your biggest, would you say, your aspirations or goals are for 2010?
Well, I'm very concerned that we're going to have another significant downturn in the economy or maybe no improvement this year. So our budget in the police department and the city overall is not great. And, you know, I'm worried that the state's going to do further cutbacks and further takebacks from the city, which will ultimately impact us at the local level. So really the goal for this year will be to try and, you know, keep our level of service high even through all these cuts and try and find additional revenue sources that can come in to allow us to keep our service levels high.
Great. Let's go to a caller. John, good morning. You are on KCNR. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. I'm going down the road, and here's all the good guys on the radio this morning.
Yeehaw.
This is John Tisello, and I know the chief. I've known him since I think he came aboard RPD, and I want to say again congratulations and let you know I was driving. I pulled over and shut my car off, though.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your comments, and I'm glad you're not talking on your cell phone while you're driving.
That would be embarrassing, now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you got stopped right now, it'd be a good story.
Yeah. I wanted to call this morning, a big supporter of law enforcement, always have been, and just to chime in just to say that I don't think people realize how fortunate we are with RPD in particular, the ability for you guys to and how well you've done being proactive. You talked about a couple of them this morning, the gang situation. I don't think that people realize that RPD took a proactive stance years ago, and I've heard this story from the officers, and I think you know this story too. They actually had officers going to Sacramento and the Bay Area and talking to these police agencies, and they were already inundated with the gang activities and said, hey, if you want to avoid this, you better start getting active now and be extremely proactive. And Reading Police Department did, and I think that that's why they're so successful. That's why Reading, as big as it is, doesn't have the gang problems at Red Bluff and some of these little areas in Butte County. I mean, some small places, they already have some severe gang activities, and you're to be commended for that.
Well, John, thank you very much. I really credit Chief Blankenship for starting our anti-gang program here, and then really Chief Modi took it to another level by creating the SAGE operation, which is a collaboration of these agencies that work together. And now we're actually expanding further, doing NSAGE, which is North State Anti-Gang. And we've got a grant from the state for the last couple of years to fund our officers assisting other agencies outside Shasta County with their gang problems. So I think your comment about being proactive is very important as well. The Reading Police Department has always had a very proactive stance on all crime issues, and that's the key to keep the bad guys on their heels.
Well, you're doing an excellent job all the way. You've had some high-profile situations here this last month, and acted very professionally. The police officers acted righteously, and we really are. I think we're blessed to have you guys up here and doing the job that you do. And one last thing, you mentioned Bob Brannon and his group, and I've, in my capacity at the city and just being a volunteer, I've worked with Bob and the groups there only as a volunteer. I didn't have to wear the vest, but worked with him with the work crews, and they're there at the major city functions and doing all types of projects around the city. And most importantly, like you said, you've got that graffiti work that they do, and that's one of the main reasons you just don't see graffiti. And when those kids that tag it, when they find, well, what's the sense of doing it, because it'll be gone by the end of the day, that's the key to success. That's why we don't have the garbage all over our town. And really appreciate that, too, and appreciate Bob Brown and all the work that he does.
Thank you, John.
Hey, John, thank you so much for your phone call. We've got to take a break here. Make sure you don't drive with that cell phone up against your ear, though.
You bet. I'm good on that. I won't get in any trouble. My phone is off, and thank you guys for what you do.
All right, John. Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Hey, this is Carl and DeBott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Welcome back. It's Carla Linda Bott. Oh, yeah, we have, you know what? We're having our own little Christmas party here. But no, we're not busting it, Chief.
And our own little elf, Ron Smith, who's here working. He's been working all night. He's got his red, white, and blue on. He says that my brain's mush. He says, no, it's not, Ron. He's trying to keep hooking things up. One of these guys that his fingers turn into little computer thingies.
This is Carla Linda Bott. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. We're having a ball. Merry Christmas, and let's go to the phones. Good morning, Roberta. You're on the line.
Yeah, good morning, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
My question's not very Christmassy, but anyway, I wonder, do police officers and all law enforcement officers have to take an oath to uphold the Constitution?
Yes, we do.
You do? Okay, well, I have a problem because the Constitution says that I should not be stopped without probable cause, and I would like to know how these checkpoints get around the Constitution.
That is a court decision that has ruled that is allowed and that is constitutional, as long as the delay of the motorist is not excessive. Because the premise being that driving, operating your vehicle is not an absolute right guaranteed by the Constitution. It's a privilege in California. So that's an educational tool that we use. And, again, the courts have examined that very issue and ruled that DUI checkpoints are constitutional.
Well, I know that each person can read the Constitution for themselves and make good judgments. We know it's very plain in the Constitution, and it is very offensive to me that the police officers themselves, do not uphold the Constitution. These courts, we know, are not making good decisions. And how long are we going to permit the courts to take away our liberty under whatever guise and call it constitutional? Anyway, it's very upsetting to me when I see these places. If they wanted to get drunk drivers, they could put all the names of all the bars in a hat, and then each week draw out one and go park down the street from the bar. And when you see somebody driving erratically, stop that person because you would have probable cause.
Well, in our system, the courts for 200 years have been making rulings and judgments and interpretations about what the Constitution says, not only related to probable cause and DUI checkpoints, but all kinds of issues. And that is how our system works, and our responsibility is to follow the law, follow the case decisions.
It's hard job to take a note that pulled the Constitution. I agree with you. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you, Roberta. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
605-4567. We are taking your calls. And, what I love about the freedom of speech and thought in our country is that we can pick up the phone and call and ask our chief of police. This really bugs me, and why is that? And that, we get a really good answer of why, whether you agree with it or not, isn't it?
It's great how
that works.
And on the show for the last 9 days, we've had our United States Congressman, Wally Herger. We've had our Assemblyman, Jim Nielsen. We've had the Mayor, Patrick Jones. We've had the Sheriff. We've had the Chief of Police. We've had Trish Clark, who is a political genius for here in Shasta County. We've had any number of people on just to show just in our first 9 days, which is the bedrock of what we want to build our show on, is that we have our local elected officials, our local people in authority that people can ask questions to, and especially our elected officials that we can hold their feet to the fire.
Let's go to the phones. Bob, you're on KCNR. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Morning.
I just turned you on, driving along, and I heard the last lady saying about the constitutional right and everything. And I've always thought that driving was a privilege, not a right. You play by the rules. You don't drink and drive or whatever. I support these DUI points and everything.
Well, you know, I understand where Roberta is coming from, but I think you have a good point there, Bob. Is that is driving an automobile a right or is it a privilege?
It's a privilege.
That's you know, a lot of people believe that.
Well, and part of the reason for these laws is to protect the society as a whole while maintaining the rights of the individual. And, you know, sometimes, particularly with drunk driving or certain activity, it appears they may fall into conflict. But that's why we have courts, and that's why we have the Supreme Court, ultimately, who can make decisions and rulings on these types of issues. And our responsibility is to follow the law.
Thanks for your call, Bob.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. Bruce, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I had a quick question for the chief.
Okay.
Does Reading offer a ride-along program, and if they do, how do you go about doing that?
Yes, we do. You can ride along with a police officer. All you have to do is call the police department at 225-4200, and we have a coordinator that will contact you and set up an appointment for you to come on a ride-along, and we'll assign you to an officer for, you know, 4 or 5 hours so you can actually go out there and ride with the officer and sort of experience and see what he has to deal with every day.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Hey, Bruce, I had the opportunity to do that. And you go in for the meeting or the briefing beforehand. You know, you ride with them on everything. And every stop they make, it's quite an experience to see what they go through during one of their shifts.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward. I'm going to call that Monday and set that up then.
Great. Thank you very much. Hey, we got to take a quick break here. Carl in the Butt, KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We have had a special 9 days here, loving every minute of it. This is KCNR 1460, and our guest today has been Chief Hansen. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me, and everyone hopefully has a Merry Christmas this year, and I really appreciate you asking me on the show.
And we really want you to call in, come in, stop by. I mean, really, even if we've got other guests, we want you to pop in. If there's something that's going on, our community needs to hear about it. That's what we're here for. So it's an open invitation.
And we want to thank all of the officers that are out there helping to keep our area safe.
And thank you for your support. It's just been great.
Well, you know, nothing's perfect. And as we've proven in here in the studio 2 or 3 times, but the idea is that you do the best job you possibly can and you keep you know, the bottom line is keeping our citizens safe and keeping yourself safe.
Thanks, Carl.
You bet.
Thank you. Well, you know, a little while ago and earlier in our show, we had the Burroughs on, Veteran of the Year and his brave son who is going to be deployed again. And a while back, we did a special packaging for the troops. 350 packages were sent and we're getting letters back. Well, Rob left a letter. A couple letters that I copied that I would like to read to you, our listeners. Rob, I wanted to thank you and all of the members of Christmas for the Troops Committee. Several packages arrived, and I've distributed them to other soldiers in my unit. Sergeant Thomas, Sergeant Nyan, and Sergeant Ritchie also received packages and have shared with others. We appreciate your thoughts, prayers, and kind gifts. Respectfully,
Command Sergeant Major Ward, it looks like, 393rd.
And the next letter. Before we close today, we want to thank you once again. This great North State of ours, we love to live here. And the last letter that we read as we go out is, Dear Mr. Burroughs and the Packaging Committee, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy lives to think of us. We all really appreciate everything you do for us. These packages are wonderful. It's always a pleasure to receive things from home. It reminds us of home. So thank you for taking our minds away from this place. Please thank everyone at the Northern California Veterans Museum and everyone at the Christmas for the Troops. Again, your dedication and thoughtful packages definitely brighten our day. Thank you. Your friends at the 49th Military Police Brigade.
And we were told to open this package up while we're on the air by Mike Quinn, who is our a good friend and is helping
us mentor
and keeping us through here. So we're opening it up. And I now have the talking Dennis Miller doll.
And I have a Dr. Laura doll.
All
try
right.
me.
Hey.
I talk, I nag. Where is it? Let's see. Do I press the button?
So we have it. Thank you. Michael Quinn.
I have a talking Dr. Laura action figure, America's real action heroes.
Hey, we want to thank everybody and for joining us today, and may you have a wonderful holiday, a Merry Christmas, and may all your people stay safe. Just remember, it's us telling you that everybody is good guys today.